When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And we don't just mean the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go paper-tarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out, the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from howstuffworks.com.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the podcast. I'm Scott Benjamin, the auto editor here at howstuffworks.com.
And I'm Ben. I write some videos here at the same website and hang out with Mr. B himself.
Yep, and today we've got another interesting topic, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about Route 66. It was a listener suggestion. And if you recall, we had one just recently suggested by the same listener, actually. It was Chris.
Top Fuel Dragsters.
Well, no, it was Chris from Autobahn, who Autobahn, Pennsylvania, who wanted to hear about the Cadillac Ranch in Carhenge.
Oh, yes,
and
yes.
And he also mentioned Route 66 because there are an awful lot of roadside attractions along Route 66.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I both mentioned that we would like to maybe make that its own topic. So here we go.
Sticking by our word.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty easy to do so in this case because Route 66, I don't know, Scott, you and I are both big fans of road trips. And for a long time, this was the iconic road trip. You know, it was right up there with the Pan American Highway.
Yeah.
So I guess what we could do real quick, I'll catch us up on the background, right, or the history of it.
Great.
If you want to?
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got some great articles on the site here, but this, why don't you do the specs and I'll do the little...
Do the specs, no problem. Route 66 is a highway that travels in between Chicago and Los Angeles. It's just an efficient way, or it was an efficient way, to get between Chicago, Illinois, and Los Angeles. The entire route itself was about, I think the best estimate so far, a common number, is around 2,448 miles. Mm-hmm. So 2,448 miles from end to end. It was designated somewhere around the mid-20s. I think it was 1926. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and it was at the time it was the principal east-west artery. Mm-hmm. It was about the only way you could do it, and that's why it became this, you know, such a popular road. It was just it was easy access to the West Coast, or to the Midwest, depending on which way you're traveling. The thing about Route 66 is though that early on when it was first designated as a highway, only 800 of those miles were paved.
Yes,
so you had a very rough road. Up until about 1937, when the entirety of the road was paved.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that kind of brought about a lot of jobs for youth at the time who, you know, of course, came out of the Great Depression. We
right.
needed something like that. So they were put to work, you know, paving the roads and getting things done. Construction, maintenance, and that type of thing were there as well, you know, afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But it also gave work to local business owners and anybody really trying to make a buck, trying to make something out of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
on their highway. They were able to open up diners. They were able to open up even camping spots. You know, if they just had a piece of land, camping was a big thing on Route 66.
Absolutely.
And, of course, you know, there were hotels and there were also roadside attractions like we talked about.
Right,
you know,
with, we did, yeah.
You know, I don't know, paper mache dinosaurs and you know, craters and things like that. So
I think there is actually one with paper mache dinosaurs.
Yeah, I'm sure there are. There's probably many of them, right? And a lot of gas stations popped up along the way, and souvenir shops, and even a lot of these hotels had, they were hotels, gas stops. They had swimming pools. They had things for the whole family to do, so you could just pull over and make it, you know, half of a day of a stop.
Make a day of it. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, and it was a great way to get to and from, well, Chicago and L.A. and anywhere in between.
Scott, let me tell you a story.
A little story
about Route 66. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, like every good story, once upon a time. Once upon a time, there were these two guys, Cyrus Avery and a guy named John Woodruff. And this is going back to what you're saying. In the 20s, they wanted some sort of thing linking Chicago to L.A. And this was in the midst of highway fever across the U.S., you know. And as you said...
Highway fever?
Yeah.
Wow.
Let's build some highways.
Okay.
This is a huge country.
Yeah.
Let's get across. And one of the things that was very interesting about Route 66 is that it was designed to, as you said earlier, it was designed to go through these small towns. They wanted it to be called the Main Street of America, mm-hmm. which I think they actually did market it that way when it opened. And John Steinbeck, of course, also calls it, you know, the Mother Road mm-hmm. from Grapes of Wrath, because just as you said earlier, it did offer a lot of unemployed people opportunities to have a solid job paving the road, to also have a solid job. I mean, it's almost impossible to estimate the economic boon that this was to have Route 66 go through your small town Oklahoma or something.
And it did meander. This road meanders.
Oh yeah,
from Chicago to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't go. It's not a very direct route at all, but it is. It is a, I guess, a southern route. It goes through eight states. It goes through Illinois, Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and then into California. So it does have a lot of stops along the way. Now, Kansas is just one little tiny corner, but and I believe Texas really just crosses the top of it. But
still counts.
It does count. Yeah, it counts. And like you said, it just goes through every little town along the way that's possible, and that was with intent.
Mm-hmm.
It joined big cities, little cities together, which formerly maybe, you know, wasn't happening at all.
Mm-hmm. Which I don't know about you, Scott, but when I take road trips, one of the things that I enjoy the most is often those sort of byways or where you bypass the major highway mm-hmm. and you get a chance to go through and see the sights that aren't surrounded by billboards or, you know, five lanes of pavement on your left. You know, it's just beautiful to get out there.
I totally agree. I like to get off the highway, but I haven't done it so much recently.
Right.
I used to, you know, if I had a little time to make a weekend trip, I'd get off the main highway. You know, I wasn't so focused on getting to where I'm going quickly. It was more, you know, just enjoying the ride on the way.
Mm-hmm. And as we said, you know, it's interesting to me that you've got a very precise number here for the mileage of the interstate, because it was difficult for me also to estimate it. And, you know, as Scott said earlier, everybody, it's even now it's tough to tell exactly how close it is. Well, that's probably the best guess you're going to get.
It's not even on a map anywhere, really.
Right.
And this number just happened to come up in a few places, the same number. A lot of people just round it off to an even 2,400 miles. Again, it's very difficult to tell where the exact route was at mm-hmm. one time now, because there are no more markers that mark Route 66 other than some historic markers that say, you know, this part of the road was historic Route 66 mm-hmm. at one point. It's no longer got this U.S. designation as a highway.
Oh, Scott.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt, my friend, but before we go into historic Route 66, mm-hmm. let's do one more heyday thing.
Okay.
Are you ready? Okay,
yeah.
So by all estimations, Route 66 is a long way, right?
Yeah.
Okay, check this out. People were so crazy about this when it opened, and they really wanted to publicize it, because if you were growing up in that time, or if you were a businessman in that time, it might be difficult to imagine how much your life would change with this thing. So our colleague Amanda Arnold, who does the coolest stuff on the Planet blog, she had this interesting post where she talks about people running on Route 66.
Running on Route 66.
A marathon.
26.2 miles, right?
the whole way.
The whole way.
The whole way.
2,400 miles. People
yep,
running.
The whole shebang, as they say.
And running. 19, I would get tired driving 2,400 miles.
You know, I imagine they were jogging or at least sleeping, and you'll see why. Because back in 1928, you know, so just after it opens, right, the civic leaders are trying to let everyone know that this road exists. And so, based on a joke, purportedly, that someone else made, these civic leaders started an organization that eventually gave birth to a road race across Route 66. And the kind of unofficial name for it was the Bunyan Derby.
Oh, very yeah, funny, right. Very funny.
And not only did people compete, a lot of people dropped out. 275 lined up at the start, and more than 100 dropped out eventually because it goes through the Mojave Desert.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
And at the end of it, somebody did complete the race, and they won. Several people completed. But the winner, a fellow named Andy Payne, ran for 87 days.
87 days to run 2,400 miles.
87 days, the whole thing.
Wow. That's amazing. I can't imagine that type of journey. I mean, running that entire distance. I could see maybe walking and taking months and months to do that.
Right.
But a race, well, running a race, that's very
difficult. He won $25,000. So there is that.
$25,000 in what year?
And back then in 28.
In
March of 1928.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
Some big money, huh?
That is big money.
I mean, it's also a long run.
It is a long run.
But so that's how...
I wonder how many pairs of shoes he went through.
I don't know. Do you think he...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He had to.
I had a friend who hiked the Appalachian Trail, and he went through some ridiculous amount of hiking boots on
really?
The way. Just simply wore them out. I can't imagine how many would go through running on Route 66, plus shoes made in the 20s.
And let's keep in mind, it wasn't paved.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. A lot of that. Yeah, you're right. So, yeah, a lot of it was on dirt roads, and you had uneven surfaces, gravel. Ooh, and
yeah.
Oh, man.
But still in all, it did get paved, as the good Mr. B pointed out earlier, mm-hmm. and it did become a godsend for a lot of people. And eventually, though, things kind of changed.
Yeah, it fell into disrepair. Mm-hmm. That was probably, I think what you're talking about is just after World War II, right?
Yeah, that's when it began.
Yeah, they said that the road started to degrade after World War II, and that was because of just the incredible amount of traffic that was using that road at that time. You know, servicemen and women traveling back and forth, east to west, west to east, and also just the day-to-day travel. You know, ordinary citizens
sure.
traveling it back and forth, millions and millions of cars. And a lot of it was to the point where it was just beginning to crumble. And the road was really narrow. It was not structurally made for that type of traffic.
For that volume.
Yeah, that kind of volume, you're right. And it just kind of fell into disrepair. And the Eisenhower Interstate System, which is what we talked about not a little while ago.
A little while back.
But the Eisenhower Highway Act of 1956, that's the beginning of the end for this road, because with that came a lot of bypasses. So you're bypassing some of these cities that you were normally traveling through, you know, where you would spend your dollars on a hotel in a small town. Now you're on the highway and you're able to make better time, just completely bypass that city.
It's a straight shot.
Yeah, it was a more direct route. It was a better road, you know, because the other one was simply smaller, just wasn't holding up as well. A lot of people chose to take that road instead. Mm-hmm. So with these bypasses, that you know, by about 1970, I believe, is when they said that most of it was bypassed at that point.
Mm-hmm.
There was one little town that held out until the very end, and that was, what was the name of that town? Williams, I believe? I'm trying to think of the name of the town that held out. I think it was Williams.
I believe you're correct.
You know what? I'm going to have to dig through my notes, but I want to say Williams, California. Is that right? Yeah. Anyways, I'll look it up. But that was in 1984, and that was the final little straw in this, on this camel's back, I guess, that broke it. Because
and then by
that was a weird way to say that, wasn't it? Yeah, but yeah, by 1984, it was gone and completely bypassed, and then they just removed it from all the maps.
Yeah, because it was, I think, for about a year or a series of months, it was still on maps and still on paper. But then by 1985, they took it off.
I've got a smirk on my face. You know why?
Why are you smirking?
Because I've already looked up the information.
Wow, you're fast.
I had my notes. I just didn't know where. It was on the maps until 1984 when Williams, Arizona, was bypassed.
Arizona, so it was Arizona. Right.
See, I corrected myself. I prevented a ton of listener mail there.
Delete your emails now.
That's right. Yeah, they're already writing. But Williams, Arizona was bypassed, and that was the final straw.
And that was it. But, you know, if we ever take you down on this podcast a little, we always try to bring you up toward the end. So let's say, Scott, that I have won the auto show lottery, okay? It's you and I and the guys at Car Talk and a couple other people, and I'm the winner, and so I can retire, and I want to drive Route 66. But it's not around anymore.
You still can do it.
I still can do it?
Yeah, up to, this is just an estimate here, but according to the National Historic Route 66 Federation, 85% of the original road is still drivable.
Ka-ching.
So 85%. Now, you'd have to find a way around the other 15%, but... And not only that, it's not completely marked. I've read this in many places that it's highly recommended that if you want to make a Route 66 trip, which a lot of people still do, you can start in Chicago, you can end up in L.A., right at the Santa Monica Pier, I believe, is where you end up, or close to it.
Awesome.
You can still make that trip, but it's recommended or highly recommended that you buy maps that are specially made for this trip because it's not marked along the way, so you don't have that benefit of, you know, any kind of street signs at all.
Names have changed.
Exactly. A lot of names have changed. So it'll tell you it's kind of like – remember those on the – was it the Trans-American Trail?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With the motorcycle trip, the off-road trip. They had the meters that you'd able to read.
The little scroll things?
Exactly, the scrolls, and you would read the mileage and, you know, what road to take and look for this monument. That's exactly the way you have to follow this road now. So it's a tedious trip. It would take you a long time. It
takes like 5 or 6 days, I think.
Really? I didn't know the length of time it took you, but there's detailed information for every state you can go through, and there's free information online. You can print it, but it would be... huge. It'd be enormous.
Even that little corner of Kansas? Well,
that might be the shortest part of all.
Yeah.
But, you know, along the way, it shows you points of interest and some historic landmarks, things like that. You know, it just gives you a lot of history along the way as well. But you can also buy a complete set of maps that will, you know, take you from end to end. So I think it's well worth the money. I don't know what the cost is even, but I would say that you don't want to get stuck out there in the middle of nowhere. And there's also GPS systems that are programs that will guide you along the way. If you have to, I don't know if you have to buy a special program for this or not, you know, to like download special instructions or not, but I think you would.
That's a brilliant idea. That's probably what I would do.
I think that's a really good idea too.
If I won this fictitious auto show lottery. Well, hey, how about then we close it out by just naming some of the places that people can go to.
Fantastic. What have you got?
Okay, and we'll switch off. I think we have some of the same information here. So there's Hackberry General Store in Arizona, and this is at mile marker 80 for people driving on historic Route 66. And it's a general store which is full of Route 66 memorabilia. It's sort of a roadside attraction themed on Route 66. So you can, I don't think you can get gas there anymore, but you can get pretty much everything else as long as it says Route 66 on it.
I see. That's the big souvenir stop.
Yeah, that's the souvenir stop.
Yeah, okay.
That's the souvenir stop.
Very good.
Can I tell you my favorite one?
Go ahead. You know what? Here's the funny thing, Ben.
What's
I'm
the funny
kind of laughing
thing?
Over here. You said we'd trade off and on with these? We had the same list, right?
Right.
When I heard you had the same list, I just threw mine away.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Yeah, so go
ahead.
Oh,
you know what, though? It was worth it. You guys should have seen it. We have a wastebasket across the room, and Scott somehow made the shot.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Remarkable.
Yeah, basketball skills aside. So there's Twin Arrows, which is in Arizona, and this is in Flagstaff. It's just what it sounds like. It's two giant yellow and red arrows. And there are telephone poles, and they stick out of the asphalt on the roadside.
So look out. There must be giant Indians in the area, right?
I imagine so.
Must have been. Or must have been at some time.
Or, yeah, perhaps. You know, I'm no archaeologist, so I can't argue the science on that.
Yeah, I'm sure it's very scientific.
Here's one you'll really like. Yeah. Cadillac Ranch in Texas.
Oh, we've talked about
that. We've talked about this, so you can find it on Route 66.
Great.
See how we do this podcast, you guys? Everything's coming
together.
Remember,
that one's been moved 2 miles.
It has been moved 2 miles. That's true.
Yeah.
So make sure you catch up on that episode before you get out there. And this is a funny description, so I'm going to read this right from our article. There's a thing also in Arizona called Giganticus Hedicus.
Okay. All right. I'm
sorry if I mispronounce the name, but in Hualapai, Arizona, for no discernible reason, there's a 14-foot tall tiki head.
Interesting.
Yeah. And these are the kind of things we're talking about. I guess we're just dwelling on Arizona. So in Illinois, as Scott mentioned earlier, there's the Cozy Dog Drive-In.
Cozy Dog.
Cozy Dog, oh, Springfield, nice. Illinois. Yeah. The home of the original hot dog on a stick.
Ah.
I'm a sucker for stuff like that at drive at any sort of roadside attraction.
Sure. The home of something? Like this is the original?
Yeah. Right. I don't even have to like it.
Okay.
You know, it's like the home of...
Well, who doesn't like a hot dog on a stick? I mean, are we talking about a corn dog or is it just a regular hot dog on a stick?
Well, it says hot dog on a stick, but I imagine surely they have the corn dog option.
I would hope so.
Maybe it's blasphemous to ask. You know, maybe they get very angry. And then you can see Petrified Forest. You can also see the Wigwam Motel, which is just so interesting. San Bernardino, California. It's a every... let me see how I would describe this. They have teepees. So I don't know why they call it the Wigwam. Mm-hmm. And they have teepees. They're 30 feet tall. And they're about 25 feet wide with windows, and so you can sleep in the teepees.
I've seen this before.
You've seen this one?
Yeah, and I don't know where, but I know I've seen that before. I know that I've seen the Wigwam Hotel. It seems like it's popular, and it's been around in movies and things. I know it has.
You can also see, now I know it sounds from this list as though the only interesting stuff is in Arizona, but that's not true. It's just some of my favorites there.
It's an Arizona-centric list.
Yes, this exactly, okay. My Arizona bias. Between Winslow and Flagstaff, there's a gigantic crater left by a meteor about more than 50,000 years ago, and it's 2.4 miles in circumference.
Awesome.
Yeah, I would totally drive to see that.
I would too.
And do you remember, did your ears perk up when I said Winslow, Arizona, Scott?
Such a fine sight to see.
You got it. You got it. It's the Eagles song, and Winslow is such a fan of the Eagles for mentioning them in that song that they actually have built a statue of a man holding a guitar, presumably singing that song.
Ah.
So there's some of the things that you can see on Route 66.
Very good.
Only a few. There's
and
so
that's just
more.
A couple. I mean, there are thousands of things along the way, and if you buy those maps or if you get your hands on those maps, download them, whatever, you'll find just hotel after hotel after diner and souvenir shops and old abandoned fuel stations. Just really interesting things along the way that you want to stop and look at. So there's a wealth of Americana out there.
Yeah, it's very strange that maybe Route 66 itself has gone down as sort of an historical idea, but it still persists in not just the American subconscious, but global subconscious. Anybody who likes to drive has seen movies that have this in their red books.
I'd love to drive the remaining 85% myself.
I would totally do that, too.
All right.
Yeah. And I guess that wraps it up for us on Route 66, huh?
That's all I've got.
All right. So now that we have given you a brief overview of Route 66, we're probably going to call it a day and wish you guys the best out there on the road. And if you have any ideas for future topics or suggestions or any tidbits about Route 66 even, then send us an email
at highspeedstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com. And be sure to check out the High Speed Stuff blog on the howstuffworks.com homepage.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Viking. Committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.